Pi Bhagavan Namaha Kamala Lochanaham Agamini Antare Rajan Vartayishyati Vatrihat. Text 26. Aste Japi Mahendri Dradro Nasta Danda Prashantadi Upagyaman Charitaha Suda Gandharva Chatanai. Text 27. Evam Brigusu Vishvatma Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha Avaitirya Paramparam Bhavohan Bahusho Nirpam. And text 28, which we can chant responsively. Gadher Abhun Mahatejaha Samida Iva Pavaka Tapasa Shatram Utrija Yo Lebhe Brahma Vachasam Gadherabhum Mahatejaham Samita Iva Pavakaha Tapasha Shatram Utsrijam Yolebe Brahma Vachasam Gadher Atun Mahatejaham Samida Iva Pavakaham Tapasa Shatram Usrijam Yolepe Brahma Varchasam. Please chant. Gadhera Pamahateja Samita Iva Pavaka Tapasa Shatrim Utrija Yolebe Brahma Vachasam Gadhera Hun Mahateja Samita Iva Pavaka Tapasa Shatram Utrija Yolebe Brahma Vachasam Gadherahum Mahateja Samida Iva Pavaka Tapasa Shatram Utrija Yolepe Brahma Vachasam. So going back to the translation of text 25. My dear King Parikshit, in the next Manvantar, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, Lord Parshuram, the son of Jamadagni, will be a great propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. Translation for text 26. Lord Parshuram still lives as an intelligent Brahmana in the mountainous country known as Mahendra. Completely satisfied, having given up all the weapons of a Kshatriya, he is always worshipped, adored, and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. And the translation for text 27. In this way, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, and the Supreme Controller descended as an incarnation in the Bhrigu dynasty and release the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. And then coming to text 28, which is our text for today. So we can do the word for word. Gadhe, from Maraj Gadhi, Aput was born. Mahatejaha, very powerful. Samidaha, inflamed. Eva, like. Pavakshaha, fire. Tapasa, by austerities and penances. Kshatram, the position of a kshatriya. Ushrija, giving up. Yaha, one who. Vishvamrita. Labhe, achieved. Brahma vachasam, the quality of a brahmana. And the translation for text 28. Vishvamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadhi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now, having narrated the history of Lord Parshuram, Sukadeva Goswami begins the history of Vishvamitra. From the history of Parshuram, we can understand that although Parshuram belonged to the Brahmanical group, he circumstantially had to work as a kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a kshatriya, he again became a brahmana and returned to Mahendra Parvata. Similarly, we can see that although Vishvamrita was born in a kshatriya family, by austerities and penances, he achieved the position of a brahmana. These histories confirm the statement in Shastra that a brahmana may become a kshatriya may become a brahmana or vaishya, and a vaishya may become a brahmana by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada. Yasya yat lakshanam prakam pumso varnabhirayanakayam yad anyatra chapa dushyeta tat tenava. Sorry, the writing's a bit small always for me. Vinir dishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or sudra, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to these symptoms of classification. To know who is a brahmana and who is a kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. If all the unqualified sudras become so-called brahmanas and kshatriyas, social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be discrepancies. Human society will turn into a society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manopistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sha, Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Sha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam. Tam sajivam sadvetam savadutam parijanas Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaguna Lalita Sri Vishakavam Scha. Bancha Kalpa Dribyas Cha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've come to a point in this narration, and it's just beginning by Srila Sukadev Goswami on Vishvamitra. And Vishvamitra is distinguished, according to this verse, by moving from the position of being a Kshatriya to the position of becoming a Brahmana. By virtue of the fact that he undertook penances and austerities. So the categorization of an individual within a particular societal division is determined by the qualities born of their own nature, svabhava, and is also according to their material way of being, or their material way of doing things, so the gunas. And that comes from Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter and the 43rd verse, Krishna mentions that. So I'll read the particular verse. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Sudranam cha parantapa karmani pravibhavaktani svabhava pravavair. So the nature of a kshatriya is such that he or she can be identified by particular characteristics. And so those characteristics are being heroic, having power, being very determined, having resourcefulness, having courage in battle, and having leadership. In the section that's just been read, there's a description of Parshuram as showing the qualities of a Kshatriya. And one of those qualities of a Kshatriya is that he didn't retreat from fighting. So Kartavir Arjuna, he sent 17 full Akshahinis of soldiers. So there's a breakdown of what one individual was confronting. So Parshuram, he was confronting, this is the precise breakdown, I won't even round it off because it's so precise. He was confronting 20,870 soldiers. There were chariots and elephants, 109,350. There were infantry soldiers and 65,610 horses. So this is one individual confronting that many thousands of warriors, mounted warriors. It doesn't even say that Lord Parshuram was mounted. But alone, he was able to kill all of them. So this indicates something of the quality of a Kshatriya in an extraordinary example. And indeed, one can say that Parshuram possessed power because wherever he went, enemies immediately fell. So there's a description that, and whenever I'm doing classes with children, they all, you know, start covering their eyes and clutching their heads. But wherever Lord Parshuram went, just this is an indication of his Kshatriya powerfulness. There were legs, arms, shoulders, it says, shoulders, goodness, being severed. So, you know, the bodily limbs would be in pieces, visible in piles. And so both the chariot drivers, the carriers, the elephants, and the horses were all annihilated. And always when I'm teaching with children, they all say, but how is it that the horses and the elephants are also getting, you know, chopped up? But this is the nature, you know, you actually break down the mount and then it weakens the soldier on the mount. So now the specific ability he had, Parshuram, was his ability to manipulate his axe and also his arrows, such that he was able to pierce all the shields, all the flags. So these are, you know, the weapons of defense. He's able to pierce them. He was able to pierce even the bows being held by the enemy and, of course, the bodies. And particularly of Kartavirya Arjuna's soldiers, who all fell on the battlefield. So in a similar manner, Lord Parshuram's power, I'm painting this picture to paint the, you know, ideal Kshatriya, is evidenced in his releasing with only one bow. He was able to cut to pieces immediately all the arrows and bows in the 1,000 arms, hands of the 1,000 arms of Kartavirya Arjuna. So with one bow, one arrow, he's able to destroy the 1,000 arrows held by Kartavirya Arjuna. So this is some indication of the power of Lord Parshuram. So if we then contrast the qualities of a Kshatriya with the qualities of a Brahmana, one can look at the work that the Brahmana is performing. So usually the quality of a Brahmana has been very peaceful. Of course, one may have one's mind racing, but generally one is peaceful. One is very self-controlled and austere, very pure, tolerant, honest, one has knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. So it's quite an incredibly long list of qualities for the Brahmana. And these are it's the societal division that indeed displays the most in terms of qualities. So there's an example, again, in our reading of Jamadagni. He was engaged in austerities. And and by virtue of his religiousness, he possessed a cow that is customarily just found in the spiritual world. So he had a Surabhi cow from whom he was able to obtain anything. So it's just by thought, the cow produces the required items. So we hear that when Kartavirya Arjuna's entire army or all his followers arrived, Jamadagni had no problem with actually being able to feed them in a very opulent kind of way. So now, when a Brahmana is working, he's performing his religious activities not to get any material gain, and it's not even to get knowledge. Rather, or even that knowledge of discerning matter from spirit, that's not actually the motivation for the work. The motivation is to release himself from being subject to material influences. And so the purpose of a Brahmana's religious activities is to regain that life of freedom. So Kshatriya has to, you know, fight for freedom, so to speak, you know, going through all the motions of dismemberment, acquisition of kingdoms, and ruling, applying his might. For the Brahmana, the work is actually bringing the freedom from any kind of influence from the material world. And indeed, one could say that the Brahmana and the sannyasis are expert in advancing society spiritually, whereas the kshatriya is expert in creating material peace and prosperity in human society. So it's on a different level. So if one looks at the interplay between the Brahmana and the kshatriya, both can be considered to be pillars of happiness, so to speak, because there's the necessity for them to be working together. So there has to be cooperation for the common welfare of everybody. So the peace and prosperity created by the kshatriya is working in tandem with the brahmanas performing their religious activities that are setting the codes of proper behavior for the kshatriya. So he has to adhere, the kshatriya has to adhere to those codes. So generally, and this is something that Srila Prabhupada mentions, generally the state needs to be supporting a religious doctrine in order for that religious doctrine to be established and to prosper. And so there's an example given that during the time of Lord Buddha, there was a king called Ashoka. And King Ashoka was very much supportive of Lord Buddha's teachings, and this is what allowed Lord Buddha's teachings to be established. And in fact, his particular cult of knowledge came to be spread all over the world purely by the support of a kshatriya, King Ashoka. And there's the opposite example that we've looked at in this section of the Bhagavatam, because in the case of Kartavirya Arjuna, so in his dynasty, because of the influence of material passion and ignorance, he became irreligious. And he ceased to care for the laws that are enacted by the Brahmanas. And this disregard on the part of Kartavirya Arjuna, as the king of the high-highers, was evidenced when he went to the residence of Jamadagni, a brahmana, while he was hunting in the forest. And Jamadagni, by virtue of his possessing the Surabhi cow, was able to receive the king, as I mentioned, and his followers very properly, and he fed them very well. But Kartavirya Arjuna, as opposed to being appreciative of the reception he received, he encouraged his men to steal Jamadagni's Surabhi cow. So you can see what a breach of conduct this is, because in effect, this act indicates that a break of cooperation between the king and the brahmanas. In fact, the act disrupted the performance of sacrifice on the part of the brahmanas, because that cow is the pivotal creature for allowing for sacrifice, because from her there's ghee, and then the ghee is used to perform the sacrifice. So she's providing an essential ingredient for the sacrifices. And that regular performance of sacrifice allowed for rain and hence fertile land, which in turn permitted all of life's necessities to be supplied. So, in effect, Kartavirya Arjuna, the royal order, was disrupting that very work which allows for freedom from being subjected to material influences. He was breaking that protective barrier provided by the brahmanas. And we find this particular emphasis on the importance of the brahmanas' work been stated also in Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, where Krishna says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So this is the work of the brahmanas, actually allowing for that disentanglement from material influence. And it's very essential and beneficial for the whole of society. So this disruption in the cooperation between the kshatriya and the brahmana then led to the work that was performed by Lord Parshuram. So as a kshatriya, he immediately sprang into action. So if we look at Parshuram and his position, because we're looking at this societal division and where a person fits in within the societal division, in the case of Parshuram, he was the son of a brahmana, Jamadagni, but he was he had the qualities of a kshatriya, and these qualities of a kshatriya then classified him as a kshatriya, because it was very clear by his response that he had that quality of a kshatriya. He immediately wanted to go and give punishment immediately, so this points to that basic principle when one's dividing society, that it's not a person's birth, but the person's actions and their qualities which dictate where they fit within the societal division. So, and this is borne out by Lord Krishna's statement that according to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by him. Krishna says this in the fourth chapter, in the 13th verse. He says, although I'm the creator of the system, you should know that I'm yet the undoer, being unchangeable. So that's from Lord Parshuram. We can see that there was a kind of mode of passion operating, if one could say, for a very transcendental personality, which would have put him into the kshatriya division of society. So the person's tendency towards a particular kind of work is determined by the mode that he has acquired. So Lord Parshuram is described as being very angry. In fact, as angry as a snake when he hears about Kartavir Arjuna's deed, and he responds in a particular way, and that is he takes up his chopper, his shield, his bow, and his quiver of arrows. So very clear, his actions are those of a kshatriya. He's determined to deliver punishment. Srila Prabhupada, in this purport that we read, he quotes a verse that supports this principle that one's classification regarding social division is dependent on one's qualities, and that those qualities dictate the division that the person falls into. So he's quoting from Narada Muni in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th chapter. If one shows the symptoms of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or sudra, as described above, even if he appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. So this division of society into which a person falls is ascertained according to the person's qualities and activities. And in our society, in our current time, we find that that division is not clear. I mean, even when one goes to India, it's not very clear, the societal division. and in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness movement, there's the particular structure that's created within society by which a person can develop the qualities that are Brahminical. So it doesn't matter what birth, in which community one took birth, that gets overridden by the qualities that become developed. So hence, if a person is developing Brahminical qualities, that person has to be accepted as a Brahmana within society's division. So when I was in Vrindavan recently, I attended a class where the devotee, the main point, he was reading a section from Prahlad Maharaj having Lord Nrisimhadev place his hand upon his head. And anyway, through that particular verse, the devotee was highlighting that one had to accept, it was irrelevant, basically the same point, what community a person had come from. If the person was taking up the practices of a Vaishnava, that person had to be considered a Vaishnava. And it's very significant that he was doing that class in Vrindavan, because you look around at the ISKCON temple and you see persons from all over the world in one temple room. And they all, one doesn't know anybody, one has not any intimate connection with anybody, but you can see that everybody's from a different country. So... But everybody's practicing Krishna consciousness and hence developing Brahminical qualities. So the division by birth, it only applies if there are corresponding qualities. So this particular verse that Srila Prabhupada's quoting from Narada Muni is that if a person has developed the qualities of a sudra, he should be accepted as such. So meaning a person who's just willing to serve all the other members of society, and one accepts the person as such. And the verse that we're covering today, Vishvamrita, the son of Maharaj Gadi, although he was in the position of a kshatriya, he moved to a different position because he took up some of the practices of a brahmana. So his activities, his work became that of a brahmana, meaning that he started practicing austerities and penances. And and actually, if we look further back, we find that this personality that now we're going to come and hear about, I mean, this is just the introductory verse, he's actually considered to be a combination of a brahmana and a kshatriya. By birth, though, he had the spirit of a kshatriya. So his mother was King Gadi's daughter, Satyavati, and his father, Richika, was a Brahmana sage. So he's considered to be a combination. So this is just the a beginning verse for what's to come. So I just touched on this main point that Srila Prabhupada brought up here, which was that societal classification, or the individual being classified within the divisions of the society, is truly based on the qualities developed by that person and their work. It's not that immediately a person, by virtue of the community he's born into or the designations or classifications of his parents, automatically apply. It's rather that person's own work and own qualities that determine where he falls into the societal division. So that's as far as I went today, because it was it's just the introduction to what's to come about Vishvamrita, and I tried to cover a little bit the examples from what preceded in terms of contrasting the kshatriya and the brahmana. So if there's any question that comes to mind from this short presentation.
Hare Krishna, Mother Krishna, thank you for your class. You were mentioning some of the qualities of a brahmana, peaceful, tolerance, etc. And one thing I observe is that in our spiritual life, anyone can be peaceful and tolerant when everything's going their way. but that's the test. And so one word that Prabhupada mentions in this verse many times, of course you mentioned in your class, is the word quality. And I've kind of meditated on this subject matter a lot. And one thing I observe is that in the material world, any product that's manufactured, it has to undergo a quality control test. And I remember like a few months ago, I would watch a whole bunch of documentaries about National Geographic documentaries on YouTube about buildings built. And one observation, one good point I really appreciate is that there was a tower that was built in Dubai. And it was considered, they were trying to build the biggest, the tallest tower ever. Every year, people are competing with each other. So what was unique about this tower is that it was built out of concrete. And basically when concrete is mixed, in the liquid form, and then when it's hardened, they put a small block of the concrete under a hydraulic test to see how much pressure it could take. And if it cracks, with a little pressure, then it's obviously not good quality. So, and the reason I appreciated about this example is that in the material world, anyone who's been bullied, they also undergo pressure, peer pressure. And we see that with Prahlad is that he was pressured physically, mentally, and verbally by Hiranyakashipu to break his character, his love for Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. And so was Haridas Thakur. But the quality of their character never broke because they were empowered by the Lord and because of their qualities. Now, by contrast, when someone merely disagrees with us, our whole day is ruined. What to speak if someone insults us, or so many petty arguments go on, and the quality of our character and respect goes down. So how can we, Krishna says, I'm the ability of man, so what are some steps we could do to get Krishna's mercy, to increase the quality of our character, like Haridas Thakur Prahlad? Because small things, our respect goes down for devotees, our gratitude goes down for, all the things we've been given in Krishna consciousness. Very small things. Thank you.
So the question raised by Jai Baladev is that in hearing about the qualities of a Brahmana, particularly peacefulness and tolerance, those same qualities may appear to be there when everything is going well, but then if some difficulty comes, then perhaps disagreement by others for one's actions, then that peacefulness or that tolerance can be challenged. So the examples were given of Prahlad and Haridas Thakur, whose qualities were so strongly developed that they in no way moved from that position of being peaceful and tolerant. So the question was raised, how can one actually maintain that peacefulness and tolerance when circumstances or conditions are such that it can be challenged? Well, the work of a brahmana is such that all actions and all dealings with others, all sacrifices performed, everything has a fixed point. Everything is done for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. So that means that the intention is clear. If the intention is clear, then it becomes easier to redirect one's actions in the correct direction. So, for instance, if one's in a situation where somehow things are not smooth, there's difficulty that's arisen. Like I can give you an example. At the present time, something very simple like making some corrections to a place that I'm going to be residing in, some little changes, is I'm learning that there's a whole board of people that are overseeing this building, and the board of people They can't see what's going on because obviously one has one's own residence and there are closed doors, but they're very agitated because it's a historical building and so they need to know exactly what it is. And several letters were written to them stating exactly what's going on, but still they're agitated, they're not sure. And this could cause, you know, agitation in the mind because one knows that there's a whole lot of irate people somewhere there who are questioning one's actions. So how does one actually, you know, stay focused? So the focus is always acting in accord with the teachings coming from Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. So in this particular case, how I'm responding to it is I write a polite letter and delineate exactly what's been done and then provide the necessary permit for anything that requires a permit from the city. So then that should meet the criteria that need to be met. So that should pacify the people. So always one tries, and why I do that is because I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever is required of me, I rise to the occasion and I take care of it right away and I try and take care of it very properly. So it's not for the pleasure of those persons or fully to pacify them, although that is the result. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. I'm going to do every action for his pleasure. Therefore, I'm going to thoroughly write a thorough letter of everything I'm doing. I'm going to get a permit from the city or permits that are required, so everything is met. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. All that effort, that extra energy required, the extra thought that's required is for the pleasure of Krishna. So it may appear to be mundane things, but one knows what one's intention is. So when the intention is clear, it keeps everything peaceful. I'm not getting agitated that there's, you know, maybe six people sitting on a board, you know, constantly trying to cause difficulties. And they have tried. It's irrelevant. One just does the appropriate action. So always just staying focused on what is required of one, what is the correct course of action at that time, and it's for the pleasure of Krishna. So then one doesn't get agitated. Because then you're not actually taking another person's mindset and making it your own. Your mindset is fixing your mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. And the mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then every action is done for Krishna. And everything else, you know, all the agitation, it's got nothing to do with one. You know, because one has one intention, to please Krishna. And same thing, if there's disagreement with one, one respectfully acknowledges there's disagreement with one, but one doesn't actually then take that disagreement and reflect that now this is an indication of one's character or one's being. One cannot do that, that's destructive. Rather, one takes the constructive way and says, I'm hearing this, there's disagreement with my viewpoint. Let me think about, you know, what's the scriptural teaching for the correct course of action here. So the correct course of action, maybe I'm supposed to be tolerant. So I'm hearing, you know, opposition to myself. I'm hearing something that could reflect on my character, but I'm supposed to be tolerant. Okay, how am I going to be tolerant? So I'm having a hard time to be tolerant. My mind's getting agitated. One goes to the lotus feet of the deities and prays. You know, I'm struggling, you know, my mind is being pulled. I'm now questioning myself because of opposition to myself. Please help me. Please give me the strength to stay focused and grounded that, you know, my purpose in this life is to serve you. And how I wish to serve you is through actions that are pleasing to you. Help me to be tolerant. Help me to tolerate this negativity that's coming my way. And, you know, that kind of constantly always going to the lotus feet of Krishna keeps one protected from all the agitation that's around one, that material influence. And that's the work of a brahmana, to be peaceful, and the only way to be peaceful is to perform work in relation to Lord Krishna. The other things all fall away. It's not so important. You always just consider your action in terms of doing the appropriate, taking the appropriate course of action, fulfilling your necessary duties, and that's the most you can with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. The other things are not important. So that's a response.
A little bit similar question. In the purport, it's explaining that a brahmana can become a kshatriya, can act as a kshatriya, Kshatriya can become a brahmana based on developing these qualities. Then we hear that we should act according to our nature, so like the qualities that we've already developed. So I guess where is the room for that, like developing other qualities, if we're supposed to just act according to our nature? If that's, is that clear?
Your question is, taking into account that a brahmana can become a kshatriya or a kshatriya could become a brahmana by virtue of the qualities they develop, you seeing that there's this problem of a nature and how what is the room that's there for one's nature and the development of qualities? Is that the question?
Based on the verse that I forgot which verse, but it says that you should perform your duty and not follow another's duty. 335, the Bhagavad Gita. It's better to follow your own duty than, even though not done well, than to follow another person's path. So
the question is. Rephrase it.
So the question is then, we should do that and not, should we more so do that, follow that instruction, or is it possible, where is the room to develop other qualities? Like, so if you have like a Vaishya nature or something like that, you should follow that duty. But then there's that possibility of cultivating brahminical qualities. So is it better to just follow your nature, or is it better to cultivate higher qualities?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Is it better to follow one's own nature, or is it better to try and follow or develop higher qualities, perhaps brahminical qualities? So... One can't deny the existence of a particular nature. there's, like we heard, a person may actually take birth with already a very strong kshatriya spirit. or in fact, there may be somebody taking birth with some brahminical quality of, you know, being very peaceful or very tolerant. you were particularly pointing, you know, there may be somebody who's a Vaishya, and so is it good for that person to follow their nature, their mercantile nature, and or try and develop higher qualities? So generally the nature has to be taken into account. One begins from the nature. So the nature is dictating the actions one's performing, and is also bringing one under the influence of the material modes in a particular way. Because of that nature and because of those actions, one's functioning has a particular way of being. So the Vaishya, you have a conversation with somebody who's a Vaishya, and there's always money calculation. Somehow or other, you know, one could discuss aesthetics, one could discuss philosophical aspects of things, or one can discuss the monetary aspect of things. If one has a conversation with somebody with a Vaishya nature, everything boils down to figures. You know, things are weighed up in figures. So now it's always by following one's nature, but it is necessary to be aiming towards developing qualities that are of a more transcendental nature. So therefore, whatever the particular nature, a person should be performing the activities in relation to that nature, but with the purpose of pleasing Lord Krishna, because that's the only way that higher qualities can be developed. So the Vaishya, thinking like that, will actually be thinking to perform things within the framework provided by Krishna. So the framework for a Vaishya will be to conduct business, but or perhaps be involved in agriculture, or perhaps be involved with animals like cows, but then the religious principles should be operating that, oh, the cows need to be protected. So the person's not going to set up some sort of mechanized system for breeding cows that will allow for them to be exploited during the duration of time that they're producing milk and then discarded when they're no longer serving that function. So when the religious principle will be operating that the cow continues to be protected even when the milk production is not there. So, and in terms of business, there will be, you know, adherence to performing things in a fair manner, that it's not transgressing religious principles, meaning one's not going to conduct business that now is some business that's supporting an industry that's connected to cow slaughter. So one will not now be a consultant or a Vaishya that's helping a company make money that is engaged in maintaining slaughterhouses. So always there has to be the development of the proper qualities come with performing the work for the pleasure of Krishna, and at the same time doing it within the framework provided by Krishna of what's the correct way to be functioning according to one's nature. So one's nature is there, but then it has to be with under the umbrella of religious principles. And in that way, consciousness gets elevated if one's acting according to one's nature. If one's acting not according to one's nature, there is a problem that one's not getting stronger. There's always a discrepancy between nature and work. So that is problematic. It weakens a person. So it's very fortunate that if one takes to Krishna consciousness, there's a gradual understanding, better understanding of one's nature, and hence the appropriate work according to one's nature, and with more consciousness of the purpose of that work. Yeah, and in that way, the proper qualities develop. Yeah, it's not merely being at the mercy of material influence and just functioning passionately or ignorantly. Rather, one has knowledge, and one proceeds with the knowledge that's sanctioned, performs actions that are sanctioned by Krishna's system. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.